Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Spider-Man attraction information, pop-up Disney tickets on sale, mobile tiki bar ordering,
spring break crowds, walls everywhere, patron Eric is here to talk around Disney and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of March 27th, 2019. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Teg Bushman. We'd like to send a shout out and a big thank you to all of our supporters on Patreon, including Jason C. for joining at the annual pass holder level, and Barbara B. for joining at the cast member level, and Katie J. for increasing her support to the cast member level. This support helps make DL Weekly possible. Our patrons get some pretty nice perks like access to our Discord chat, live show recordings, some DL Weekly swag, and more. If you'd like to learn more, head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
Have you booked your trip to the resort yet? If not, you should. Contact Mike and James over at Concierge, and they will take care of your entire vacation from beginning to end. And as an added bonus, you will get a free year of touring plans. Why wait? Check them out at concierge.com.
If you want to have a voice in the podcast and our discussion topics, please head over to dlweekly.net/vote to register your choice for the next discussion topic. We've been getting a lot of great responses, so please keep up the great suggestions for the future of the show.
I just want to take a quick moment and thank everybody that was able to join us for this previous weekend's live, like we did a live stream, I guess kind of like a hangout is what you'd call it. But thank you to everyone that was able to join us for that. I do know that, you know, it's a Sunday evening, so it's not always very easy. You might have plans with your family. So we appreciate everyone that was able to join us for that. I had a lot of fun. And I know Tag did, too.
Oh, yeah.
But we do plan on doing this monthly. So this is a public live stream that we will host on YouTube. So we will give you guys a heads up when we plan for when the next date of the public live stream will be.
Yep. Well, now let's get to the news. We got some new details on the Spider-Man attraction coming to the former It's Tough to Be a Bug theater space. The new attraction will utilize, quote, technology never before seen and practical effects, end quote, that will allow guests to experience what it's like to be a superhero with their abilities. The new attraction should be family-friendly for all ages.
I'm really happy that it's going to be a family-friendly, hopefully all ages included type attraction, because that was one of the main concerns with Bugs Land being closed. That was a very kid-friendly portion of the park. It's nice that they're not going to, I don't know, replace it with something that maybe not all kids would be able to experience because maybe they're not tall enough or it's too scary or, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm hopeful for this.
Yeah, me too. It looks interesting. They're very vague with this. Technology never before seen in practical effects. The idea, obviously, it's a Spider-Man attraction. So obviously things like web slinging and whatnot are going to be there. So I think that could be really interesting if they can do that with some type of practical effect that they can do over and over again. Obviously, this must be some of this never before seen technology. So it seems like between this and Galaxy's Edge, it's very exciting, some of the stuff that's going to be coming to the resort in the future.
Well, remember a while back, there were some sort of plans that were kind of leaked, and it showed plans for some sort of, like, it almost looked like you were swinging. So people were thinking, you know, is it a Tarzan ride? Like, you're swinging vine to vine. It was this very interesting ride system that plans kind of leak for. So I'm thinking that's the technology that they're referencing here, is this kind of different way to go through the attraction. It looks more like you're, the ride vehicle's attached to the ceiling versus the floor. But I don't know. I need to know more details about this because I'm a little afraid it's going to be, you know, something kind of Toy Story, Midway Mania-esque, or even Buzz Astro Blasters-esque. And those are fine, but we have something like that already. So I'm hoping that this is much, much different.
Me too.
Tickets have gone on sale for Pop-Up Disney, a temporary space that will house a bunch of different scenes that you can take a photo with based on Mickey Mouse and his cartoons over the last 90 years. The pop-up location will be in the former ESPN building in downtown Disney. Tickets are $30 and include 5 hours of parking at the downtown Disney lot.
I've seen a lot of people online that like were very excited for this when we first talked about it. But now that they've explained like the ticket pricing and stuff, people are a little less excited. They're like, I don't know, $30 to go take some like Instagram photos.
Yeah. And my hold up with it, too, is I'm a doer. I'm a like I want to go. I want to do things. So even when I'm at the parks and they have the free Instagrammable walls that you can go stand next to, or even with characters, it's really hard for me to wait in lines to just get a photo. I'd rather do experiences. But I mean, that's just me. A lot of people love the photos. So I can see where there will be some people that really enjoy this, but I can also understand why people would maybe take a pass on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I for me, I don't think it's worth the $30. I think I'd rather spend $30 to get a good meal or to do some other type of experience. So for me, I'll just wait to see what other people's pictures are.
You know, I am really excited, though, because the concept art that they have shown for what some of these spaces are going to look like are very immersive, very detailed. There's even one that's kind of themed to the Mickey balloons, and you actually get to stand inside of an 8-foot tall Mickey Mouse shaped balloon. I thought that was kind of cool. There is one like with, I don't know, it looked like a giant bow of Minis that you could like hang out on. Like it looks like a couch or something. I don't know. They're really cool. It's not just stand in front of this thing and okay, here you go. It's kind of like you get into the background a little bit more.
It's immersive, right? Is what you're...
Yes.
Yeah. Well, one of Teresa's favorite things is going to be returning here. A popular scavenger hunt is returning to the resort for the Easter holiday. From April 5th through the 21st, the Eggstravaganza will be available. The map and stickers are $6.99, and when you're done finding all the eggs, you could turn in the map for a special surprise.
This is ridiculous because I've never actually done a scavenger hunt in the park myself, but they just look so much fun and so exciting, and I know I'm an adult, but I don't care.
Scavenger hunts can be for everybody.
I feel like they're probably more geared towards kids, but I'm okay with that. I'm a big kid at heart. It's fine.
I think so.
But yeah, so anyways, one of these years, I'm going to go and hit up every single scavenger hunt, I think. And this one's really cool because they've shown what some of the eggs, like the little eggs that you get, look like and what they're themed like. And they're, of course, super cool.
Yeah.
They have different Disney characters on them, including, I think, Dumbo and Timothy P. Mouse were on a pair of them. But anyways, just very, very cool.
No, I think these type of things are good for all ages. So it's very exciting to have these things all the time.
Disneyland's Easter eggs have returned. These handmade chocolate fudge eggs are made fresh at the Candy Palace over on Main Street. Different flavors are offered each week and include peanut butter, chocolate, vanilla nut, and even chocolate nut.
You know, I'm usually a big fan of Easter egg like things. Like I'm a huge fan of like the Reese's peanut butter cup eggs. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, of course, like for Halloween, they look like pumpkins. And for Christmas, they look like the trees. These, though, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't like the more rustic look of these.
The more handmade look?
Yeah, the more handmade look. It just, I don't know. It doesn't look that appetizing to me. Because, Teresa, you were, when you brought this story to the show today, and you said, look at this. And I was like,
I really thought that it was a tag thing. Because for me, they look a little rich. I definitely, if I got one, would have to share it with somebody. I don't think I'd be able to handle one on my own.
They
also look pretty large. So it looks like a good size to share. Or if, you know, if you're really into fudge and that's your thing, they're really a decent size. I think they were $10, $9.99 a piece. I would try one just to see because I've never had anything like this. And I just really like that they're made right there, fresh, right at the Candy Palace. You can walk past the window and see them creating these things. I just think that's so cool. It reminds me a lot of the candy canes. It's a very special, limited time, you know, they have them till they have them. Once they're gone type release. Obviously not quite as popular as the candy canes, though, since they don't have tickets for you to have to get in line to get these.
Nothing beats fresh,
yeah,
you know, made candy and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, there's something just kind of about that. Well, from March 28th through the 30th, the Tiki Bar outside of the Enchanted Tiki Room will be mobile order only. This will be for testing to see if it will reduce crowds for when Galaxy's Edge opens. If you want to purchase a Dole Whip with cash or without the app, you'll need to go to the Tropical Hideaway instead during this period.
there's something coming between me and my Dole Whips now. I don't, you know, I hope, personally,
mobile ordering though, you just do it in the app and walk up and it's there. You don't have to wait in line.
I'm a very impulsive person, so the mobile ordering is like planning ahead, right? So
you're gonna have one.
I walk past the tiki room and past the tiki room bar, Dole Whip bar, whatever you call it, the tiki bar. I can say, sure. I can talk. When you walk past the tiki bar is when I'm like, oh, you know what? I want a Dole Whip. I don't think like while I'm at the hub, hey, a Dole Whip would be good. Let me quick order one on my phone and go.
I don't know. We've talked so much about the Dole Whips. I think you're going to be ready for it as soon as we're at the gate. What's going to happen? We're going to go get in line for like Indy, right? And you're going to drink through most of it and you're going to be like, I'm ordering another one.
Okay, maybe it's a... Anyways, but I don't know. There's something... I like being able to just walk up, talk to the person and order it, hand them my cash, hand them my card right there, not have to be more sporadic about it. I feel like mobile ordering is planning ahead, and I'm not so good at that when I'm in the park. I just go based on feel.
Well, you could do like I do sometimes with mobile ordering. There's been times where like I've driven to our local McDonald's that has mobile ordering here, and I'll pull up in the driveway or like in the parking lot and I'll order from the app just because for me it's easier to order through
that'll
an app
be
than
me. I'll be on the other side of the bridge to Adventureland staring at the tiki bar on my phone angrily ordering my Dole Whip since I can't just walk over and do it with the person.
I don't know. I'll tell you what, we had some conversations in the chat today about some food allergies, and the app is wonderful.
I do think that the app is definitely has a place, and it's great for people
just
who
not
love
between
that
you
kind
and your
of...
Dole Whip.
Well, no, just I don't know. I feel like I will have to force myself to use mobile ordering because, like I said, I just kind of go wherever the wind takes me when I'm in the park. So I just go based on feel. So it's not like I pre-plan what I want to do, even attraction wise and even especially food wise. So for me, it would be hard to think ahead. Oh, I'm going to want a Dole Whip in 15-20 minutes.
But you don't have to do 15-20 minutes. You can just order it, and then like as soon as they say
that's
it's ready.
That's what I said. I'm going to be on the other side of the Adventureland bridge area, leaning on the rail there, plucking in my phone, my Dole Whip order, and then I'll walk over and grab it.
Well, you know what you do? You put in your order, and you do the next story.
I'll just make you to do it. I'll just make you do it for me. Be like, Tag, order me a Dole Whip.
Yes, master.
It's time. No, I don't know why. I had an Yzma Krunk deal with that.
Oh. Push the button.
Order me a Dole Whip. Wrong lever.
Yeah, then I order you the wrong Dole Whip.
Is there a wrong Dole Whip, though?
I don't know. They have a lot of versions now. Have you tried all the versions? You don't know if you like them.
I don't know. I don't think I could hate them, though. We'll find out.
We will find out. I feel a challenge. I mean, you are the Dole Whip goddess.
Well, what do you do if one of the most popular attractions is down for refurbishment, or if it's your favorite attraction is down for a refurbishment? Well, open up the queue for exploration, of course. Last week, the Indiana Jones queue was open for guests to explore with the decoder cards to translate the glyphs throughout the first part of the line. Cast members were on hand to give tours of the temple, and some small displays were set up to look at and to also take pictures with.
Now, this queue, it really lends itself to this because it was one of the last queues that they really designed well for pre-Fast Pass times, where they knew they were going to have a long wait, and they wanted to put a lot of theming into the actual queue itself. And so there's a lot to see that you can't really see now. I mean, you're moving so fast going past some of that stuff. And, you know, with the decoder cards, you don't have time to translate all that stuff. So I think it'd be super cool to go through here. And the fact that you had cast members that were kind of giving a tour, I mean, maybe they'd point out stuff that, like, I didn't even know before.
Oh, I'm sure they did. I think this is awesome and such a smart thing to do because you're right. There is so much in that queue that people, you know, just walk past and probably don't even know exists. So the fact that they were giving you the time to really explore this area and really, you know, see things, and even the fact that they had different photo opportunity things set up with it, because there was one that they had kind of set up in front of the temple, which usually if you're waiting in the attractions line or queue, you are standing in the same area, but it's filled with people, so you're never going to get this really cool shot like they had set up here for you to get. So I think that was really neat. They also brought out a lot of other like props and stuff like that that people could also pose with that I think is neat. So it's a lot of stuff that you don't normally get to see. So just really, really cool and apparently very informative from what I've heard.
I
would have loved to go on
that. Well, yeah. Unfortunately, when we're there, I think it's going to be open, so we're not going to get this opportunity.
But we'll take our own tour.
Sure. Spring break is in full swing, and the crowds have descended upon the resort. Expect that even high-capacity attractions like Pirates to have 45-minute or longer waits. There will also be lines for almost anything else, including fast pass return, food, and crowding on all the walkways. Be patient and expect waiting, and your experience at the parks should still be pretty magical.
I could not believe some of the photos that were coming out from this, I believe it was from this past weekend, but there was the world's longest line for The Little Mermaid. I don't think I have ever seen that queue go way out into like the main walk area on the wharf there. That just was surprising to me because that one is a really fast, it's a people eater, like they like to call it.
It never has a wait, keeps
getting people in and out. You know, it's just it's awesome. It's great. But so that was very surprising to me that there was such a long line for that attraction. Other ones, I mean, we're used to seeing longer waits at, say, Space Mountain or even Pirates. You know, those are very, very popular attractions. But even the ones that are really good with moving people through and quickly and also aren't as popular had super long lines. That was a little mind-blowing to me. I'm glad that The Little Mermaid was getting the love she deserved.
Sure. That is an underrated attraction.
It is. I really think it is. Well, Grizzly River Run should be coming back from refurbishment on March 28th. In preparation, the water has been refilled near the Pacific Wharf area.
I couldn't believe how dirty it was already.
I was going to say, I feel really bad because they spent so much time cleaning that, and unfortunately there's already some trash and leaves and debris and whatever. I mean, obviously it's much, much cleaner than it was before, but it wasn't as shiny and sparkly as you would have hoped. But still, I'm sure they have some sort of skimming tool.
Oh, yeah.
Because most of the debris was just on the surface. Yeah, so.
Just but like you would at a pool.
I just can't even wrap my head around how much water it takes to run the Grizzly River Run. And then, like we said, the Pacific Wharf area, I think we talked about this a few episodes back, is actually kind of like a retention area and is connected to Grizzly River Run. So all of the water in the wharf is connected to all of the water way over on the attraction. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of water. So I can't wrap my head around how long it took for them first to empty both of these things and then now to fill it all back up. But it will be back and running in just a couple of days.
Well, you know, I would not want to see their water bill, that's for sure. Do you like the Grizzly River Run? I don't know if we've ever really talked about
it. I do.
Grizzly.
I always get completely drenched and completely soaked when we do it, but I do think it's fun.
Are you the unlucky person that always
ends up? I am.
I'm
the one that always ends up backwards and it like falls over the, and it falls over
the
side.
That's the worst, like the falling over the side, not even like the splashing on you, but like coming in the sides.
No, it's like pouring in the side. I'm always that unfortunate person. A poncho would not help me.
No, we just didn't put you in a bubble.
Yeah.
Well, after quite some time, the walls in front of City Hall on Main Street have come down, showing the changes of the grass area. The fenced-in area has been shrunk down to allow for easier guest flow as part of Project Stardust that we've been talking about in preparation for Galaxy's Edge. The area looks nice, and you'd be hard-pressed to notice the change if it wasn't pointed out. One thing that they did that was kind of cool was they put a shorter fence around it, which I think is kind of cool because it's still tells people you shouldn't be walking through it, but it also doesn't look just like a bunch of fence. And I guess it's low enough people will probably sit on it and stuff, which maybe they don't want. But honestly, like I saw the picture, I'm like, I don't even remember what it looked like before. So I don't think it's going to be noticeable.
That's the thing that I think is really amazing with a lot of these enhancements that they're doing. These walls are going up and we get very nervous that they're going to completely get rid of all of the green that we really love about Disneyland. Because there's just so many plants and trees and just green in that park. You don't feel like you're in a concrete jungle. So I think they clearly they're doing a very good job at reducing space but keeping the charm. Because, as soon as some of these walls come down, you kind of have to really think hard about, well, wait a minute, what exactly did they change? Because at first glance, it looks exactly the same. So I think that's really
well. We'll see what you think when you get to your story next.
I think that, anyways, what I was going to say is I think that's a test to how well the Imagineers are doing their job. They're making changes without us really noticing that it's different.
I totally agree. I think they're doing a great job.
Well, speaking of walls, even more walls have gone up around the park, including expanding the perimeter around Sleeping Beauty Castle. The forecourt has been stripped of asphalt and will be replaced. With the wall changes, there are some sections of the new paint job for the castle visible, and it looks really nice. New walls have appeared by Peter Pan's Flight, probably to improve on the queue. Over in Tomorrowland, there is a wall around some of the garden area near Autopia that is also changing for guest flow. Frontierland, between Frontierland and Adventureland walls, are up to increase flow between the two lands. Finally, the walls are still up in front of the Haunted Mansion planter to increase flow there as well.
So many changes, and they only have just a couple months left.
Walls, walls, and more walls. They're going to be working very efficiently.
The two things I'm excited about from this whole story was the new paint job for the castle looks pretty good.
Yes,
it does. I've really come around to it. I'm excited to see it in person for sure. Mm-hmm. And then the discussion that I'd seen online this week about Peter Pan's Flight queue, one of the suggestions was that they take out one of the shops that's right next to Peter Pan's Flight and put the queue partially in that so you can kind of fill that up, because I think it's just the heraldry shop or something. And so that could be an interesting idea. I don't know if they'll do that, but... people were saying that even something like Mr. Toad, that's not as popular as Peter Pan, has that like kind of extended queue on the side.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
The unfortunate thing with Peter Pan is positioning, right? Because it's kind of it's between a bunch of stuff, and there's really not much space to go with the queue except for out into the walkway. So right. You know, anything that they can do to kind of make that a little bit more enclosed would be nice. You know, it'd be great if they could do something kind of like Dumbo, where Dumbo was kind of out in traffic flow and they somehow got that tucked around more. So I don't know how you'd do that, but
there were some people online talking about ridiculous things, like how all of the queues for Fantasyland should be put underground. And I'm like, I don't even know how you would do that.
That's a lot of work. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to, there'd be some crazy structural stuff that would have to go on. But I do like that they're making an effort. And if Dumbo and everything else that they've done so far is any indication, I think it's going to turn out great.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, this next rumor started quite the discussion in our chat today that went on for hours. A rumor has been circulating on social media that Disneyland will be making a new policy regarding stroller sizes. Stroller sizes may be limited to certain dimensions, like 31 inches by 52 inches. This rumor does go hand in hand with what the park is trying to accomplish with Project Stardust, making more room in the parks to help with the anticipated increase in crowds later this spring. In addition to this, too, is there is kind of a loophole with there's a certain type of stroller that can also become like a wagon, and it's kind of like a loophole, and they're trying to close that one up, I think, a little bit.
Well, and I think it just overall makes sense, because like we said, they're trying to, I mean, they're taking inches off of planters, trying to make sure that we've got space for all the people that are going to be there so that everybody's got a good experience. So I equate, it feels very much like, remember with carry-on luggage, we didn't used to have certain sizes that we were allowed to bring in. Now you have a certain dimension that it has to be considered carry-on. That's kind of like how I feel this is too. They're expecting more people, so unfortunately they have to, you know, make it so that there's just more flow, better flow, more room, however you want to say it. So unfortunately, strollers are the next thing that are going to be looked at. I don't really think that, I mean, I'm not a parent. I don't own a stroller, so I don't personally know what the dimensions for a normal stroller are. So I could completely be wrong, but I feel like this isn't really going to affect the normal size strollers. This is going to affect the more wagon-like strollers that had been allowed in the parks before.
Now, people in our chat, like I said, had a lot of opinions on this. If I were you, if you want to talk about what your opinions are with strollers, if you have any recommendations for strollers, there is Doug from our chat, who's our moderator, also went on to our forums that are located on the website. If you go to dlweekly.net/forums, he's got a... it's titled under Parenting in the Parks, and he kind of is looking for some feedback on what people think about it and what type of brands they recommend for the park stuff. So if you have any information about any of that stuff, if you have a stroller that works really well for you, go in there and talk about it. Maybe you guys can actually get some good tips, because that was something that came up in the chat too, was we were talking about umbrella strollers, and the problem with umbrella strollers is they're not very comfortable, and a lot of them are short, so people's backs start hurting as they travel through the park. So there was a couple suggestions in there of a couple different brands that are a little better. However, they were a little pricier. So, but if it's important to you, maybe the price isn't as big of a factor. So I think this is a really great discussion. I think at some point we're going to have a discussion maybe on the show that kind of encompasses this. It's not all going to be about strollers, but maybe like etiquette in the parks, because that was something that came up during the chat too. So let us know what your feedback is on this, and if you guys would be interested in hearing anything like that, feedback@dlweekly.net.
Well, now we take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer James will try and stump us with some Disney trivia. He's going to read us the questions, we're going to attempt to answer them, and then James will give us the correct answers after our discussion topic. So what do you have for us this week, James?
I also hear, before James says anything, I also hear that we have a bonus question this week.
Oh, I'm so excited for this one.
So we will see, because this is where I probably don't have any clue.
Hint, hint, it's Disney movie related.
Yeah, so I'm probably not going to do so well.
Not with that attitude, you won't.
That's true.
Well, let's make our way towards that bonus question. Our first one tonight: at the end of Main Street, you take a right towards Tomorrowland, and there's a cafe known as the Plaza Inn. At the base of the light post at the Plaza Inn, there are what?
I can honestly say I've never paid that close of attention to the light post at the Plaza Inn.
The only thing I know from the Plaza Inn is the wonderful stained glass stuff and the chandelier inside the atrium kind of thing.
There. Yes, it's beautiful.
Well, now you're going to have somewhere else to look.
Oh. Yeah, we are. I'm going to say, so we're saying like what it's shaped after, like how they're decorated?
Yeah, there's a clear like thing it is in the shape of.
It can't be like a hidden Mickey. That would be too easy.
No.
A clear
thing. I'm not that nice. Yeah, you know, like a person, place, thing, idea. Yeah.
I'm going to say flowers.
Birds.
All right. Question number two. Just recently, you were talking about the Country Bear Jamboree. How well do you remember it? How many bears were in the show?
The first number that came to my mind, literally, was just shot in my mind, was 16. But I don't think that's right.
Are you sticking with 16?
I'm going to stick with 16.
The first number that popped in my head was 5, so you and I are on way different planes.
Well, because there's a lot more, because there's like the main band, but then there's all the ones that come out, and there's the one that comes out of the ceiling.
So I'm going to be real honest here. The only time I have seen Country Bear Jamboree was in Walt Disney World.
It's basically the same show.
Very, 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 very small. Well, it has been quite a long time since I have seen that show.
Well, I know what you're going to have to do after recording this podcast, then.
I'm going to have to watch it. I did it watch the final performance of Aladdin the other night.
How was that?
Good. It was very good.
All right, our third question tonight comes from Daniel.
And Daniel!
Daniel's question is, who is the owner of the Disneyland Park marquee that was on display from 1989 through 1999?
The city of Anaheim.
89 through 99?
Yes.
Is it somebody we should know?
It is most definitely a famous person.
Oh.
I'm going to say...
89 to 99?
Like Disney famous or real famous?
Real famous.
I'm going to say Michael Jackson.
I'm going to say Tom Hanks. I'm sure I'm wrong. This is a really bad week.
I've made it a tough week. Jeepers. And our last parks question tonight. In Mickey's Toontown, what can you do in Mickey's house that you cannot do in Minnie's house?
Well, could you be a little more specific?
You can see Mickey Mouse and get your photo taken.
I was going to say you could visit Mickey's movie barn, but I don't think that's the right answer.
Can you be a little more specific? Things in the house?
What are you able to do in Mickey's house that you can't do in Minnie's house?
You get to visit his garage.
Don't overthink it. Go with your first instinct.
I'm going to say visit his movie barn. Or meet Mickey. Like, that just seems stupid. I think he's also got a garden that she doesn't have a garden.
Yeah, he does have like a backup.
I'm going to say visit the garden.
Teresa, what are you going with?
Visit Mickey.
Okay.
I'm not wrong.
All right.
This might not be the answer you were looking for.
Who knows? All right. Bonus question this week from Doug S., the previously mentioned moderator for our chat. In the opening clip that shows us the Pinocchio storybook front and center, you can spot two other books located to the left that Walt later made into animated feature films. What are the names of these Disney classics?
I'll say Peter Pan, because I think that was after Pinocchio. And
I'm going to say Cinderella.
And I'll say Sleeping Beauty.
I'm going to say The Little Mermaid and Cinderella.
Well, it seems like it was a great week for now Trivia Master James. We'll see how they did after the discussion topic.
Well, joining us for our discussion topic this week is the voice of DL Weekly, Eric Johnson. He's also the Run Disney aficionado of the chat room, because he's been on before and talked about Run Disney. So welcome to the show, Eric.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So Eric was chosen out of our bag to be the guest patron on the show. So this is this week for that. So what did you decide to talk about this week?
Well, not surprisingly, I kind of wanted to talk about Run Disney.
I think that's awesome.
That is awesome. Now,
it's a whole different aspect of Disney and Disney parks that the average guest might not even be aware exists. It's a completely different way to experience the park, so I love it.
Well, yeah, and it's on my mind right now because I leave for Walt Disney World next week.
Ooh, coming up.
Jealous.
And which one is that? It's the Star Wars Rival Run, is that what it's called?
That's it.
Yes, I got it right.
Woo! Well, Teresa and I,
that was the only trivia question I did well on today.
There you go. Teresa and I are actually participating in the virtual half marathon.
Yes.
And
13 miles is a long way. We'll just leave it at that.
We're doing okay.
We're chugging along.
Doing great.
We'll get there. But we realized that the last time you were on, Eric, we actually did not ask you the questions we always ask people. So, because you've been on before, for people who aren't aware, he was on before talking about Run Disney. Because, Eric, you were working with Concierge, our official vacation planners of DL Weekly, because they did kind of a Run Disney group for this run that's coming up. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We've had a little Facebook group going on for a while where we kind of share tips and tricks and, talk about the latest Run Disney news when it comes up and kind of get excited for our next run.
That's awesome.
We're already looking at the Wine and Dine in November.
Look at that. They haven't even done the race in a couple of weeks and they've already planned out what the next one's going to be.
Well, you should know how this works because Vern, your boyfriend Vern, he and producer Vern, for those of you, he runs. He's big into running. So he's always planning out the next two or three runs, so you know how that is.
Oh, for sure.
So, Eric, we're gonna make up for lost time, and we're going to ask you the questions we didn't ask you the first time that we ask all of our guests. So, what's the first one, Teresa?
So, Eric, can you please tell us what your Disney story is? So this could be, what made you fall in love with maybe the movies as a kid, or then what then grew into your love for the theme parks?
Well, I mean, as many kids who grew up in the 80s and 90s, I mean... The movies were everywhere. You finally had that puffy VHS cassette tape to pop in. And, it was a great time to be watching movies. So, yeah, I grew up with that sort of thing. And we went to Walt Disney World a couple times. And, it kind of came out when my wife and I got married. We were thinking about where we wanted to go for our honeymoon. And we settled on Walt Disney World and had such a great time doing the whole package experience with a dining plan and staying at a resort hotel and all these things that I had never even done as a kid. Staying on property was amazing, and we kind of totally fell for it and planned out a few years in advance and started saving for that. Every few years we'd head back. And then this whole Run Disney thing started when a friend of ours reached out and said she wanted to do a marathon for her birthday, and somehow that got scaled back to a 10-mile run, but we all went to Walt Disney World together and did this 10-mile run, the Tower of Terror 10-miler, and it was awesome. Just planning for it and training for it. It was the first time I'd ever really done anything big. My wife and I did our first 5K together a few months before to kind of train for it, and actually my whole family came out for that run, and We were hooked on the Run Disney experience because it's really the best. So, a lot of races have, you know, they've got good race design, a course that'll take you through the cool part of town or past some interesting things through a zoo or whatever. Disney races take you through a Disney theme park. That's amazing. And the whole experience from start to finish is great. They've got great music playing beforehand, during, afterward. There's people there cheering you, even if it's a day race, a night race. It's a really well-designed experience from start to finish, and it's worth every penny. And then at the end, as I think I mentioned during the first time I was on here, you get to take home a whole pile of medals, and it's great.
Well, you know, one thing that especially the Disneyland ones, I mean, they're not doing Run Disney for a little while in the Anaheim, you know, the California resort. But I will say one thing that I always see from the Run Disney events over in Disney World is a lot of the things that would interest me, like going backstage.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's one of the few times you get to go backstage at Disney. I mean, that's pretty cool. And you get to meet all these different characters. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you take the time and stop and meet the characters, there's some really cool characters that you might not normally see in the parks. I mean, the Tower of Terror, they had a bunch of villains there. They had Hades. They had the Queen of Hearts. I guess I've seen the Queen of Hearts in the parks a couple times. But, you know, the villains you don't see around all that often unless you're there at Halloween.
Yeah,
that's very true.
And backstage, the Disneyland runs were great at backstage. So much of the run was backstage. It was amazing. They always brought out cool ride vehicles and things you might not have seen for a while. You could run by the train depot. You could run by where the horse stables. Mm-hmm. You could run
before Galaxy's Edge plowed over them.
Yeah. I mean, Walt Disney World, there's a lot of running in between the parks. But it's not that much different from running around the streets of Anaheim as you would in Disneyland. I'm really looking forward to it because I've never had a run through Animal Kingdom. The last time I was supposed to run through Animal Kingdom, there was a thunderstorm and they canceled that chunk of the race. So,
oh, darn.
This next one's going to be really cool. And they've kind of changed up where the start corral is. It's no longer at ESPN. It's now up at in the parking lot, basically, of Walt Disney World. So it's or the Magic Kingdom, I should say, and really the whole way the race is designed is just for a Disney fan. It's everything you ever wanted out of a race and more. So that really made a big difference for us, and we started going to these races a lot because we, you know, Disneyland is a little bit easier for us to get to, and. Now, you know, suddenly there's the coast to coast medal and you've got to go to both coasts in a year and all these other challenges that show up. And you know, we jumped into it. So that's kind of how we really got into the parks and how we visited Disneyland for the first time. I hadn't been there until just a few years ago.
Well, very cool.
Yeah. So the next question, so that was your Disney story. So the next question we have is, when you enter Disneyland, which way do you go? Do you go left towards Adventureland? Do you go straight through Fantasyland? Do you take a right towards Tomorrowland? Kind of what's on your first day, what's kind of your go-to?
Okay, first day, because it kind of depends. I mean, sometimes I go right and head into the Disney Gallery, but...
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. We have not had anyone even mention that.
That's true.
That's
oh, really?
A really good one. Yeah.
Yeah. If it's not the first day, I head into the Disney Gallery and wander around there for a little while and,
oh, it's so
and stare at things
there.
I can't possibly afford.
Right.
But generally, first day, if it's early, I like to go to Jolly Holiday and get some... you know, spend some time that all the guidebooks say you shouldn't do and spend some time getting coffee and some breakfast and watch people walk by. And once that's done, you continue going left into Adventureland and hit up Tiki Room or Pirates or something like that first thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's funny because you're probably the first person that we've had that didn't immediately go for an attraction. You went for like... the gallery or some coffee. Yeah,
usually everybody seems to beeline to a land because they're wanting to get on a specific attraction.
Yep.
So I love that you just like to kind of take it easy and kind of just slowly start your day and just take in the surroundings first. I love that.
I will say one of the most underrated things at any Disney park is literally what you just said, Eric, people watching.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, I love Cable Bar. That's the best part about Jolly Holiday. You get a spot right by the fence, and you watch the horse-drawn carriage go by. You watch the bus go by. Mm-hmm. Everybody's walking in. It's a great spot to sit down and there's no reason to relax first thing in the morning, but it's great for that.
You're chilling. You're taking your time.
You're easing into the chaos.
You're easing into the chaos, and then you watch all the crazy people tripping over themselves trying to get places.
That's awesome. So, Eric, what would you say your favorite attraction is?
That is tough.
It's a crazy hard question.
Yeah. Yeah.
It took some self-discovery for me to finally realize that my favorite attraction was Haunted Mansion.
Okay. Did that really take that much self-discovery?
It did,
really?
Because there was so, when that question was posed to me, it like there was like 10 different things that instantly came to mind. So I guess the best way that I finally figured out what my favorite attraction was if for whatever reason I was only in the park long enough and I had to only ride one thing or experience one thing.
Yeah.
What would that be?
And that's the tough part. I mean, I can think of several things that would make that list, but I guess I should say that having been stuck on Haunted Mansion before for about a half an hour.
Whoa.
During the graveyard scene, and I know you love getting stuck on rides.
That would be like the perfect, that's the perfect place to get stuck in that.
You know what's
attraction.
Funny, Eric? We were literally, when we had the live stream on Sunday, we were talking about this, how she wished she would get stuck in the graveyard scene.
How well, did we you stuck- know? No, just kidding.
Yeah. Well, I missed that chat, unfortunately.
You're going to have to rewatch it.
Okay. We were stuck right outside the Opera Ghost. And immediately after, we were very, very cold afterward because it's heavily air conditioned. But immediately afterward, I think my wife was willing to not go on Haunted Mansion for a while, but I was ready to jump back on.
Yeah.
So that might be telling.
That was going to say, that's a pretty good, I mean, because if you were stuck in one spot of one attraction for that long, you're like, let's do it again. I think that's a pretty good indication that that's a favorite for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's a few rides that I can think of that if I got stuck in one spot for a very long time, I would probably be like, you know, I've had enough of that attraction for this trip. I think we're good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, all right. So now, getting to the meat of the matter here, Run Disney. So how many Run Disney races have you participated in?
I wasn't prepared for this question.
We can do a ballpark.
I think it's like 11. It kind of depends on whether, well, let's say it's been, I guess that depends on whether or not I'm counting the amount of the actual races versus the
event. We'll have to get into that too. I forgot to even talk about the different challenges.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because I've done if we're counting the individual races, it's a lot more because at some point my wife and I thought it would be a great idea to start running multiple races in the same weekend. And apparently that's a big thing. A lot of people do that and they sign up for all of them. And I haven't signed up for an all of them experience yet, but
I was going to ask you if you had done the, is it the dopey one that like is everything?
No, I've never done a full marathon yet. Okay. And I would like that first time to be at the Walt Disney World Marathon. But we'll get to that eventually, I suppose.
Yeah.
Goals. You got to have goals.
Yeah. Now, would you recommend, like for somebody, from your own experience, I guess, would you recommend somebody who has not done any running, but they want to get into running, would you recommend like a Run Disney event as like a first thing?
Absolutely. I see that there's so many people in these runs. Yeah, some people, I've heard some people complain about it, and that's kind of a shame because any run can be someone's first run. Everyone has had a first run, and you think about what you did the first couple times you were out. Like the first time I did anything, I brought this like belt full of water bottles, thinking that I would somehow die of dehydration just running 5 miles.
Like, sure, yeah.
So you make these mistakes, and you don't want to be in a place where people judge you or anything. And that's the cool thing about Run Disney events is there are so many people starting out, and so many people that have a slower pace and just want to take it easy. There's no judgment there. No one's upset with you, or at least no one should be upset with you.
They kind of encourage you to not run the whole time. So if you are an avid runner, a Run Disney race probably is not your style of race, because it's a more relaxed feel, I guess, would be a good way of.
So it'd be a great race for me, but not for somebody who's like super serious.
Yeah.
About
so if
it.
You're trying to like break world records.
Well, if you're not the place. If you're actually competing, they do have. I mean, people do place with these races, so there's always a first place and second place. So, if you're really looking to perform, you can get in the earliest opening corrals, and you can really get ahead of all of the people who are taking it more casually. So the races are designed to keep the casual people. When you're signing up, you can say, I'm really not planning on finishing first place, and they'll set you in a later corral, and you can start. You have a later start time, and that kind of, lets the people who want to perform great stay at the front, and they can run without anybody in front of them. And the people who say, I kind of want to push it, but I don't think this will be my personal best, you can kind of start in the middle. And all the people who say, I just want to finish, this is going to be great. I want to see if Tigger's on this racetrack, and you can start off and take your time and meet characters and do whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, this virtual one is one thing, but I think at some point, especially if it returns to Disneyland, which unless you know something else, Eric, I think it's kind of still up in the air when any of those races are going to return.
I don't know anything else. There's been a lot of rumors since they canceled the hotel project that it would perhaps come back, but there's still so much construction going on.
Oh, yeah. A ton. Just a ton.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it comes back, because I think that it would be nice to have some more runs around Disneyland. Obviously, Disney World, it's very easy. They own all the property. They can shut down things. They can do back, all the different things, and it's not a big issue. But I hope they bring it back to Anaheim, because I think that would be something fun to do. And I'm not a huge, huge runner either, but I think the experience of doing it all would be super fun. So
what are some of the what are some of the different distances that you've done for Run Disney races?
Really, with Run Disney, I've only done the 10K and the half marathon, and that first time I did the 10-mile, which they don't offer anymore.
Hmm. Sure. They offer, there's 5Ks though, right?
Yeah, I've never done a 5K with Disney. I think it's usually in the interest of maybe shaving an extra day off. It's a little bit harder to get into town a day earlier, because the 5Ks are usually on Friday, 10Ks are Saturday, and the half is on Sunday. So taking an extra day off of work, saving an extra day, that sort of thing.
That's understandable. I'd probably try to, I've done, I think, what, 2 5Ks now? And the second 5K I did this last year was very tough, just because my body's older now and I'm out of shape. But I think that I would totally be up for getting ready for... Maybe that's what should be our goal when they come back to the Disneyland. Maybe we should do a 5K at Disneyland. Sure. Teresa's looking at me like...
I'm going to do the 10K. Mm-hmm. You can do the 5K.
Oh, you're going to do a 10... Okay.
Shoot if for the Therese, 10K. Come
he
on.
He said the 10K is the favorite.
If Teresa signs up for a 10K, I will sign up for a 10K.
I'll drag you along with me.
And we both have to do it.
But you can't use a wagon, because those are outlawed at Disneyland.
Timely.
And trailers. We learned today that there's a no trailer policy at Disneyland, too. I thought that was funny.
On the electronic convenience vehicles, you can't have a trailer pulling
behind. You cannot have a trailer with your wheelchair or your electronic convenience vehicle.
I'm sure that applies to Run Disney as well.
Yes, I would think so, too.
Well, that'd be like a wheel Disney.
So I kind of know a little bit about this, but I feel like you have far more insight into this, Eric. So there are, you kind of touched on this before, but there's kind of like different challenges that Run Disney puts out. Can you tell us about some of those?
Yeah, for any of the runs that I've been involved with, I guess other than the 10-miler that I recall, they usually have some sort of combination, whether that's the Dumbo challenge, the Goofy challenge, the Dopey challenge. They usually find some way of saying you're silly if you think you should run all of these things together. So it's a combination of multiple races. So it's usually the 10K and the half marathon.
Have you participated in any of these challenges?
Yeah, a whole bunch of them. The Dumbo challenge is the one they usually have at the Disneyland half marathon weekend. The upcoming Rivals Run weekend for Star Wars is another one. They actually added the Kessel Run challenge this year, and that's the virtual half marathon plus the actual half marathon on property. So for this next run, doing the 10K and the half marathon and the virtual, I will get 5 medals.
Wow. Oh, wow. You know, and I was looking online because I wanted to see what our virtual marathon or our virtual half marathon medal, if I could talk, what that looks like. And I saw the Kessel Run medal. That's worth it. It is such a nice looking medal. Yes.
Well, yeah, and they actually at the expo they usually have a vendor or vendors who will sell you either nice mounting things for your medals, or they can mount them in a sort of picture frame and put them all together.
Oh yeah,
I might actually go for that this time because this is an awful lot of metal to bring home.
Yes, it is, and you're a big Star Wars fan, correct?
Oh yeah, oh yeah,
yeah. So then it's an extra special.
Well, yeah, his profile picture is him like in a, isn't that you like in a Jedi robe?
Yeah, that
thing?
Was a race outfit.
Yeah.
No, that's my Kylo Ren race outfit. Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah. I see. I'm really silly. The things that make me want to do the races are the medals, because the medals look so cool. In fact, I'm somebody who doesn't, for me, tattoos are not for me. But if I was going to get a tattoo, there's one race medal from a few years ago at Disneyland that I thought would be a really cool tattoo. It's like the D with the castle in the middle.
Oh,
and I was like, I would get this tattooed on my body. So yeah, the medals are super, super cool. What's your favorite medal that you've won?
I guess nostalgically, the Tower of Terror one was pretty cool because it was an actual replication of the tower, and it had this little elevator on the side, and you could manipulate it up and down, and it had a spring on it, so it would bounce back up when you pulled it down.
Oh, how cool.
I just pulled up a picture of this, and Teresa was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That is pretty sweet.
Neat medal. Disney does not, I mean, all of the medals that I've seen from Run Disney events are just very well done. They're very intricate. They're beautiful. They are not cheap, flimsy medals for sure. They're awesome.
I think you should have done this one, Teresa. The Disney Happy Haunts 5K Trail Run in 2014.
If I would have known about it in 2014, I probably would have. So, Eric, what do you think your favorite Run Disney event was ever?
Well, I'm thinking of one of the most memorable runs I had, where it was the Tinkerbell half marathon, which was the first time my wife had ever done a half marathon. We ran it together. That was pretty great. And Brandy and I have a lot of good stories from that. she was dressed as a, you know, she had a fairy costume and I had a Captain Hook costume, and it was the first time we ran in costume together. And there was a whole lot of great stuff through that whole run.
So this brings up a good thing that I think maybe you could provide some insight on to some of our listeners who might be thinking about doing one of these races and doing some costumes and whatnot. Do you have any tips on if you are going to do a costume, things to do or not to do? Have you learned some lessons that way?
So I approach costumes in what I consider to be a pragmatic way, and others might not. I make my own costumes. Well, my wife and I have worked together on costumes in the past, and we make them out of athletic fabric generally because we try to go for a sort of realism. So my Captain Hook costume was patterned after Captain Hook in the movies. I've got this big hat with a feather, and I've got a hook and everything. But I don't want to just buy a pirate costume from the store because that's going to be hot and sweaty. So we've kind of gotten pretty decent at building things out of athletic fabric, which takes some time learning how to sew and cut and stretch and everything. So that's been a big learning experience for us. I mean, my Kylo Ren costume that I have in my profile picture, is took forever to make, and I was really proud of it when it's done. So I can't wait to run in it again for this next race. But I felt totally fine running in something that completely covered my body with multiple layers because I had built it that way.
Sure.
So that's for me. I've seen other people run in giant elaborate costumes or even silly things that they've made out of cardboard and other stuff. You know, go with what works for you. If you're going to, if you think you can make it, go for it. Just take into account that it might get hot while you're running.
For some reason, all I can picture is one of those inflatable T-Rex costumes and somebody doing a race in one of those. You know what I'm talking about? Those.
Yes. I'm sure someone has done that. Yeah.
I'm sure.
I think that's nuts. But for some reason, when you said people create some or wear some interesting things, that's all I can think of. So.
Well, and I've read stories about there's a guy in England who has run multiple marathons dressed in a full stormtrooper armor outfit, so completely clad in plastic. I mean, do what works for you. But
that sounds like a heat stroke.
That sounds and mobility wise, I can't imagine that you can bend as easily in that suit of armor type.
Or how about dressing up as Chewbacca?
That'd be very warm.
Be terrible.
Very, very warm. I have also seen a lot of photos online of people kind of doing more of a, I guess, kind of like a Disney bound style when they do their races. So they want to, they want to still be comfortable, but also still be Disney. So it's kind of, if you're not able to, make your own and sew your own costumes like you guys are able to do, Eric, they kind of just do, like different Disney colors or, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and that's a cool approach, too. Yeah. I've seen a lot of pictures just like that, where mm-hmm. I thought of some, I've seen some pictures of Chewbacca costumes, actually.
Yeah.
And they're all, I mean, sure, I know some people have run in full, like, Chewbacca suits, which is, it's crazy to me, but some people have done things where they've made costumes that suggest Chewbacca, and you know exactly what they're doing, and they look really comfortable because they've got a little bit of skin so they can actually breathe and, mm-hmm. it's not a full suit that's covering everything. It works out great.
Yeah, it makes a difference. It probably also makes a difference as to how long of a race you're doing, what you can handle for a 5K versus a full marathon. maybe you're a little bit more tolerant of being a little uncomfortable just for, if you're only doing the 5K versus...
Okay, so this is super cool. I was just Googling some Run Disney costumes because I was curious, and there's a picture that I found here from, it's from Pinterest, I guess. Somebody dressed up as like a kind of a Minnie Mouse with like a red tutu, and her partner dressed up as Walt Disney.
Yeah, it's Mickey and Walt.
Yeah, and it's at Disneyland because it's got the Disneyland monorail behind them. And I was like, somebody dressed as Walt? That is so awesome.
That's a good one.
I thought that, I think I've seen that picture. He's got like the mustache and everything.
Yep. Yeah.
And a suit on.
Like shorts on.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. There's an idea for you guys for some time.
Okay.
Right.
When they start doing stuff at Disneyland
there
again.
There you go. Walt and Mickey. That's clever. Very clever.
That is super cool. I don't know.
So, Eric, what are some of the pros and maybe some of the cons that you've encountered while either, signing up or doing a Disney race, actually participating in it? Is there really a con?
There's some cons. I mean, like any races, it's super early in the morning. So if you're not used to doing races, it's crazy. I know my wife has specifically passed up on some races because she didn't want to wake up that early on race morning.
Makes sense.
I'm checking.
But what a way to start your day, though. What a way to start your day, though. You get up, you get your blood pumping. It's cooler, obviously, in the morning in Florida or Southern California. It's cooler. And, you get to see the sunrise and stuff. My biggest regret every time I go to the parks is I generally only make it to opening like one of my 5 days there because because I stay all close and then I'm tired and then I sleep in the morning and I'm hard to get up in the morning. So maybe a Run Disney thing would be a good motivator to get out of bed.
Definitely. Yeah. And I guess the other big con is preparation and cost. These aren't cheap races, but I believe you get what you pay for. As I've said before, it's really well designed. But you do have to sign up for these races super far in advance. Usually 6 months or more. I can't even remember when I signed up for this this upcoming race next week. And, you know, it's right here. And I don't even remember how long ago it was. And 2 weeks ago, I signed up for Wine and Dine. So it's a long process, and you've got to start planning well in advance and get your hotel and all that stuff put together. But really, the first thing out of all of it is sign up for the race.
Yeah. Well, because they like book, like they sell out of registrations, isn't that right?
Depending on the race, yeah. The Rivals run was interesting. It there was a lot of registration that was still around. The 5K filled up about a month ago because we were still considering signing up for the 5K until recently, and it was finally sold out. But the Wine and Dine, the 5K, and I think the 10K are already sold out, wow. And it's only been a couple weeks.
Right. Wow. So some of these, you have to, as soon as they make it live, you should be on there registering for your race just to make sure.
That's right.
Well, so what are some of the neat things that you've seen during races? Maybe some rare characters that stuck out, or even some of the really cool behind the scenes things that you've seen. I know you said at Disneyland that there was some ride vehicles that you guys actually got to kind of go and look at.
Yeah, and I never really slowed down to look at them too closely. But you know, they usually have cars sitting out. Some of the vehicles from I think they had some of the Astrojets sitting out,
mm-hmm.
And I mean they've had things like the cars from Cartoon Spin, and really for me one of the coolest was they had pulled out one of the trains from the depot and they were blasting steam from it occasionally, and
that is cool.
It was cool seeing the horses up close in their stables. I got to meet the night custodial crew, and to my eternal shame, I didn't take a picture with them.
Oh,
I thought about it maybe, you know, 30 feet later. I'm like, I don't want to turn around now, but, but yeah, they even have cast members backstage. People will have Mickey gloves on, you know, giving high fives, and everybody's cheering. And, one of those moments that the custodial crew particularly sticks in my head because they were all, it was one of the times I was wearing my Captain Hook costume and they're all chanting Hook, Hook, like from the movie Hook.
Yep.
How fun.
I feel like the custodial cast members have the best like sense of humor and stuff. I don't know why. I just feel like, you know what I mean? Like, I think like maybe to do that job, you kind of have to, you know, in a way. So awesome. Well, is there anything else that we did not talk about that you'd like to talk about with Run Disney?
Not really, other than if you go for it, like I said before, it's a great excuse to indulge in all of the great Disney food.
Well, you know, we're fans of the
steak
food
somewhere.
Well, what's your favorite steak at Disneyland?
At Disneyland, you know, Steakhouse 55 has always been great. Although I guess sometimes we do mix it up and go to Carthay and have something that's not a steak, but I don't know. After a run, I like to have either bacon or steak. So
they both sound like good options to
me. Yes. Got to refuel. On to our final question. It sounded like you have thought about this before, but if you could work at Disneyland, what would you do there and why would you choose that?
Okay. And this is going to be weird because I have thought about this.
We like weird. It's okay.
Okay, great. I want to be the data analytics operations guy who can look at all of the numbers for the parks for the week and look at everything and say, tomorrow we're going to have this many guests, we're going to need this many cast members, and this is where they're going to need to stand.
Wow.
Like, you know, there's a guy somewhere. I mean, I'm sure there's a computer doing a lot of this math. I mean, you've talked to touring plans and there's a lot of great algorithms out there, but Disney's got to have the best algorithms.
Oh, for sure. Well, and you've got to have somebody that's kind of, I don't know, verifying with the computer. Like, yeah, that makes sense. Or, wow, no, that was
You know,
off.
You bring up a good point.
Because
so,
staffing. Yeah.
Teresa, you and I have both worked a few different places, and retail is a good example. I don't think I've ever been to a Disney park where I felt like it was understaffed. You know what I mean? Because like, there's obviously going to be sick outs and stuff.
You've never been in a line that I can think of, in a line in a store, and thought, why don't they have that other register open?
Right?
Like you do when you're like in a grocery store or something.
Yeah. It's not Walmart where there's like 20 something registers and they have like five open and people are like, why aren't these other registers open?
Yeah, there's one desperate person on the phone saying, I need more help.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I've never experienced that's they definitely have to have that. You know, I'm sure they have algorithms and computer programs, and I'm sure there's supervisors that look over schedules that are done and everything. That's a really interesting
one. We're gonna call that position the scheduling grandmaster.
Grandmaster.
Yes, I don't know.
The scheduling czar.
The czar.
Yep. Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
There you go. And then you could do all the Run Disney runs, right?
Well, and you know, that's kind of nice because I think if I were to work in the parks, I think working in the park would be too overwhelming because I would want to be experiencing the park. So I think that I like your thought process there because you're still working for the park, but you're not tempted.
But here's the question, Teresa. If you were working in an office near the park, wouldn't you feel like, oh, it's just right there. Why couldn't I be in that?
Maybe the first couple of weeks I'd feel that and then I'd get over it.
Maybe.
Because I'd go after work and on my lunch break.
Maybe someday we'll be...
Have that problem?
Maybe. I don't know. It'd be cool to have that problem. I was watching... So this is totally off topic, but I was watching... like that happens to us. I was watching one of those... the official D23 YouTube channel posts some videos that I've been watching closely because we're going to D23. And they have this... video series called Know Before You Expo, and they kind of talk about different things that are going on for the expo and things to know before you go. And I was watching the guy like host it, and I was like, we could do that. We could be that guy.
we could be the D23 host.
Well, he went and talked with a chef, and they talked about the food cool. that's going to be there and stuff. I'm like, we could do this.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Anyway.
The D23 hosts are pretty great. From the few events I've been to, they're really engaging. They do a great job of including other people there. They're fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm really excited for D23. Are you going to be at D23?
I will not. No. It didn't fit in, but I will be in Disneyland in September.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Teresa's going to be at Disneyland in September.
I don't know. Maybe not. You'll be there right in the full swing of... everything Halloween, which, oh, it's so cool. Have you been to the resort for Halloween before?
I have. I've been to both coasts.
Have you?
Although I went to we had a great time at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party in Walt Disney World a few years ago. And that's one of our best, you know, favorite memories from going there. But Disneyland does have Haunted Mansion Holiday, and
yes.
the decorations are so fantastic. It's hard to choose.
There are rumors that they're going to be theming like Big Thunder and stuff in Disney World this year.
Really?
For the Halloween party.
Really?
So it'll be interesting.
I'm really surprised that Haunted Mansion Holiday has not made its way to Florida.
Well, we've talked about this
very
before.
Very surprised of that.
We've talked about this before, though. Why?
I know, but I'm still very surprised by
yeah.
it. Because it's so popular.
Yeah. They might.
Who knows?
It might be a thing.
Who knows?
Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining us and talking about Run Disney. If anybody has any questions about Run Disney stuff and maybe they want to reach out and talk to you or some others about it, where can people get a hold of you to ask some Run Disney questions?
Well, I am generally in the chat most days. I haven't really joined the forums yet, but I am available in the chat, and I'm totally willing to talk about this stuff.
Awesome.
All right. Well, have a great evening. Thank you for chatting with us, and I'm sure that we'll have to talk to you about how our run virtual half marathon ends up here in the next week or so.
Yeah, you got a deadline closing in there. So
yes, we do.
Did you know that you can rate and review DL Weekly on iTunes every 6 months? If you haven't reviewed us recently, please do so, as it helps get our ranking better and allows the community to grow.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of DL Weekly. You can support the show for as little as 25 cents an episode. If you want access to our supporter chat that we talk about, it's only 75 cents an episode. Please consider joining supporters like JJ De La Cruz and head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
Well, now it's time to return to James and Trivia Land to get the answers to the trivia that we did awful on, I'm convinced, this week.
Yeah, just not a good week. So I guess a good week for me?
You can't win them all.
Yeah.
All right, so our first question we asked tonight was, at the end of Main Street, you take a right towards Tomorrowland, and there's a cafe known as the Plaza Inn. At the base of the light posts at the Plaza Inn, what is the decorative design?
I said birds.
And I said flowers. We were very creative.
Yeah, you actually need to go for the King of the Jungle. It's lions.
Oh.
They're finely crafted lions at the base of the light post.
Yeah, okay. Now that you say that, I can picture that. Good question.
Yeah. Got to pay attention to all these details, right? All right, our second question, going back a bit of history, of how many bears were there in the Country Bear Jamboree?
I said 16.
And I said 5, which is definitely not right.
I feel like Teg should get a half point for being close. It's actually 18.
Oh, that wasn't too bad. So no. A half point?
Yeah, I'll give you a half point for that one, but nothing for Teresa. All right, our third question, which came from Daniel, was who is the owner of the Disneyland Park marquee that was on display from 1989 to 1999?
I said Michael Jackson.
I said Tom Hanks.
What is great about Teresa's answer is the person that owns this bought it in a 1999 eBay auction, allegedly beating out Michael Jackson for it.
Ooh.
Huge Disney fan. Have mercy. It's John Stamos. You might know him better as Uncle Jesse from Full House.
So do I get a half point for my second place bidder? I think I do.
Yeah, sure. You can have a half point. So.
Thank you.
It's probably the only half point we're getting. Yeah.
We got it. We're asking for scraps this yes. point.
So have pity on us.
I had no idea how much of a Disney fan that John Stamos actually is. Like, he actually got engaged at Disneyland and everything. So
Yeah.
So now that I got to embarrass myself with my poor impersonations, let's move on to our fourth question. In Mickey's Toontown, what can you do in Mickey's house that you cannot do in Minnie's house?
I said visit his garden.
And I said meet Mickey Mouse.
Well, you came up with a lot of good answers that probably would technically be correct. The one I was going for was meet the character. Good job, Teresa.
Yes.
Can often find
that
Minnie.
That is such a dumb trivia question, though. That's so misleading. It's a trick question.
But Teresa got it right.
Yeah, James, explain that though, because you meet Mickey in his house, but you meet Mickey in like her backyard.
Minnie is often outside of her house, mm-hmm. along with the other characters that you meet in Toontown. So,
I still protest, but that's okay.
Protest away.
Whatever, miss 1 point for it. All right, let's go.
All right, our bonus question this week, a little bit of Disney movie trivia from Doug
this
Stevenson.
This was really good trivia, Doug. Very good.
In the opening clip that shows us the Pinocchio storybook front and center, you can spot two other books located to the left that Walt later made into animated feature films. What are the names of these Disney classics?
I said Peter Pan and Sleeping Beauty.
And I said Cinderella and The Little Mermaid.
Well, Tay got one out of two, right? The other one takes you through the looking glass. It's Alice in Wonderland.
Ooh. Which one did I get right?
Peter Pan would be the other one.
Wow. So I got a half a point
Very
for that,
cool.
too.
Half a point. So not your worst show.
You're beating
ever.
Me by one half point right Woo. Now. You have one.
We're
which,
begging for
Do you
scraps.
Know what's really sad? Is you have 1.5 points and you're beating me by a half a point.
It just shows how well we did at trivia this. Thank you to both Doug and to Daniel for your questions, your stumpers of questions. So thank you very much for submitting those.
I have an idea for next week. I think you and I should both pick two trivia questions that we have to ask producer James. tables have turned.
We're going
turned.
To pause and we're going to rewind. Whose idea was trivia in the first place?
I believe our listeners wanted trivia. And people have obviously been sending in a lot of trivia.
I don't think you need to blame James for our...
No, I just think that, like, I'm just saying.
I get to show off how little I know about Disneyland. Actually, sounds awesome.
Look how much we know.
I mean, I can't do much worse than you did this
That's
week.
No!
So.
Very true.
Well, either way, if it's them asking questions, I'll be asking questions again in the near future. So help me out and send questions that Tag won't protest as poor questions. My email is trivia@dlweekly.net, and I look forward to getting all your questions and asking them on the podcast.
We will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.